May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 3 weeks ago, James was ordained in Brussels with five others in this diocese. They were ordained as deacons to serve both in the church and in the wider community. Next summer, James will be ordained a priest here in St. Ursula's. So that will be a very special occasion. Now, a priest never stops being a servant, which is what the word deacon means, but they also take on further responsibilities. In the introduction to the ordination of priests, the bishop says that priests are called to be servants and shepherds among the people, always setting the good shepherd before them as the pattern of their calling. So priests are to be shepherds, or pastors. Pastor, of course, is the Latin word for shepherd. The priest pastor is to care for individuals in their different needs, but also for the well-being, the flourishing, and the unity of the whole church, the whole flock. The bishop tells the newly ordained priests, remember, the treasure entrusted to you is Christ's own flock, bought by the shedding of his blood on the cross. So priests are to serve under the one true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. So what does it mean to know him as our shepherd and to be a member of his flock? Well, you may have noticed the references to shepherds and sheep in two of our readings this morning. And of course, it's an image which is used often throughout the Bible. In our reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the rulers of Israel are rebuked for failing to shepherd their people in the right way. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. The kings of Israel were expected to rule their people like a shepherd, to care for them and guide them, and instead they've acted unjustly and oppressed their people. Now the Israelites are in Babylon in exile, and the word of the Lord denounces these unjust rulers. It's you who have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. The human rulers have failed, but God's tender care remains. God will not desert his people, and there is hope for the future. God speaks of the sheep of my pasture, my people, my flock. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and bring them back to their fold. God is the shepherd who cares for his own people. Nevertheless, he also calls human leaders to share in this work of shepherding. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. And Jeremiah looks ahead to the righteous branch of David, the Messiah, the true shepherd of the flock. Jesus takes up this role of the true shepherd, the good shepherd. And in our gospel reading, we hear of Jesus' care for the crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had withdrawn to a deserted place with his disciples because he was concerned for his disciples that they needed rest and refreshment. Because often there were so many people coming and going, clamoring for attention, they didn't even have enough time to eat. But the attempt to find rest at this point fails, because large numbers of people eagerly search after Jesus, and by the time Jesus and his disciples arrive at that deserted place, there is a large crowd waiting for them. Jesus sees their need and has compassion upon them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. These same words are used by Moses as he prays for the Israelites in the wilderness. Moses knows that he's going to die soon, and he prays that God will send a new leader for the people, otherwise they're going to be leaderless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so Joshua is named as Moses' successor. Now, of course, Jesus fulfills the role of the shepherd in a deeper way than Moses or Joshua. In John's Gospel, he says, "I am the good shepherd." He knows his sheep intimately. He calls them by name, and he will lead them even through the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist says of the Lord in Psalm 23. So going back to today's gospel, as Jesus looks out on the huge crowd and has compassion for them, what does he do? Well, his compassion is not mere sentiment of pity or concern. It leads to engagement and practical care. Jesus shows his compassion for the crowd by teaching them, by feeding them, and by healing them. First, we're told he taught them many things. He fed them spiritually by teaching them about God and the kingdom of God. But then he responded to their physical needs too. These verses actually lead in to the feeding of the 5,000. If you look at the text, you'll see that there's several verses missing. We jump from verse 34 to verse 53. So that reading of the feeding the 5,000 isn't set for our reading today. But Jesus shows care for the crowd by feeding them physically. And then, moving on to the verses we do have at the end of today's reading, Jesus is again mocked by crowds, bringing the sick for healing from villages, farms, and marketplaces. And in his compassion, he heals them. Now, of course, Jesus' compassion is not just for a huge crowd of anonymous people. Mark, in his Gospel, describes several incidents of Jesus' tender care for individuals in their particular need. I think of blind Bartimaeus, Jairus' daughter, the woman with the hemorrhage of blood, and the rich young ruler. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, guides his people and feeds and protects them. He heals the sick, strengthens the weak, searches out the lost, and challenges the rich and strong. Perhaps there may be times when we too feel bewildered or helpless or weak or lost, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus can meet each one of us in our deepest need, whether that's for forgiveness, hope and healing, challenge, guidance, courage or peace. Or perhaps, like the disciples, what we most need is time away with him for rest and refreshment and prayer. Sometimes God speaks to us, strengthens and comforts us through his word or through prayer. But sometimes we receive encouragement, hope and strength through others, whether that's other members of the congregation or those trained and appointed as leaders and ministers of the church. God often chooses to speak to us, to guide us, to encourage us through other people. This has always been the case. Just as God called human leaders like Moses and Joshua and David to work with him in shepherding his people, so Jesus called the disciples to share in his work. At the end of John's Gospel, Jesus commissions Peter to feed my sheep, tend my lambs. And in the same way, God continues to call men and women to be pastors in the church today. Now, I mentioned earlier James's ordination recently as a deacon and his ordination next year as a priest, and the priest's call to be a shepherd. In the Anglican Church, as in the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches, we continue the practice of the threefold ordained ministry of bishops, priests, and deacons, which began in the early church. Now, I know that terms can sometimes be very confusing. We also talk about chaplains and vicars and curates, not to mention archdeacons and canons. It is a bit confusing, so if anyone wants to ask me more about that afterwards, feel free. But what I am sure is that over the years, many of you here will have been very thankful for the teaching, care, and guidance that you've received from ordained ministers serving in different ways. Some of you may be able to look back with gratitude to Peter Walker's time as chaplain here, many of you. And I'm sure that many people in many places are grateful to Maggie and Malcolm for their ministry over many years. But we also know that just as the human leaders failed to care and attend for their people at the time of Jeremiah, priests and pastors in the church today sometimes fail to care for their people. We may all be aware of the painful scandals in the wider church which have come to light in recent years, and we may have had our own personal experience of ministers who have hurt us or disappointed us. Fortunately, God's love and care continues when human leaders fail. Jesus is our true shepherd, and it's important we don't lose faith in him when others disappoint or fail us. Now, I know that some of you here don't come from the Anglican tradition, and you may feel a little bit uneasy about ordained ministers, even when they do their best. Why are these people set apart? Doesn't it put them on a pedestal and separate them from others in the church? What's so special about them? Well, maybe it's important to just stress two important things. Firstly, the focus should never be on the clergy themselves. They are trained and equipped over many years for particular work, but the ministry of a deacon, a priest, or a bishop is always to point to Christ. He is the true priest, the high priest, and he is also the good shepherd. So all ordained ministry in the church should point to Christ and should be shaped by his example. It's also important to remember that even those who are called to be shepherds in the church are also at the same time Christ's sheep who need his care. He is the shepherd who feeds and guides, heals and restores us. And more than that, he is the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. His love for us costs him everything. The good shepherd is also the lamb who was slain. Christ's own flock is bought by the shedding of his blood on the cross, as the newly ordained priests are reminded. In our reading from Ephesians, we are reminded that the cross of Christ is right at the center of the life of the church. Whoever we are, whether we're ordained or not, whatever our nationality, our culture, our tradition, our background, we are all drawn together in one community founded on the death and resurrection of Jesus. He is our peace, and he is the one who reconciles us to God and one another. But secondly, as well as pointing to Christ and his death and resurrection, clergy are also called to share their ministry with members of the congregation. Through Christ, we all have access to God in one spirit, to the Father. We are all citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, as Paul writes in our letter to the Ephesians. We're all part of what is sometimes called the priesthood of all believers, and we all have our part to play. So clergy may have a particular training for preaching and teaching and pastoral work, but they can't do everything, and neither should they. We all need to play our part. Use our gifts and work together to be built spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So I hope we can all support one another, and please pray for your clergy, especially for James in his new ministry, as we pray regularly for you. I hope and pray that we can learn and grow together as Christ's flock here at St. Ursula's. Whoever we are, he, the crucified and risen one, is our true shepherd, and we are all his sheep. He cares for each one of us as individual sheep, but he also cares for the unity, the well-being, and the flourishing of our life together. May each one of us know his care and compassion, guidance and healing in our lives, and seek to show that share of compassion to one another. Let us remember that we are Christ's flock, bought by the shedding of his blood on the cross.